Welcome to the Author Wave with T.E. Reidner and L. Van Zandt. All about authors, their books, and their readers.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Author Wave. We're so excited today. We're going to have our second interview, and this time it is with author Michelle Escamilla. She will be joining us in a few minutes, but first we have to give a shout out to our SMATs and give a few updates.
As always, we'd like to thank our SMATs, also known as our super mega awesome terrific sponsors, for helping to keep us on the air. We've done just a few shows now, and we couldn't be more excited to have all of you amazing authors and readers involved.
Absolutely. So thank you very much to the author of The Man I Love, Sue Ann LeCur.
The Man I Love by Sue Ann LeCur can be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and Google Play. We'll post her links on our Facebook page later today.
We sure will. So before we get started here, can you hear me okay over there?
I can hear you okay.
Yay! So hopefully we do not have any technical difficulties today. I've got my fingers crossed, and I apologize for the excerpt. I don't know what happened, but it was just so bad. Okay, so...
The bonus of live radio.
I know, so fun. Okay, so now we're going to bring on our guest of the hour, which is the author of the Dark Spell series and Careful What You Wish For, Michelle Escamilla. So let me bring her on here. Michelle, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, hi
Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea. I've been dancing around like an idiot.
Well, we are happy to have you here.
We are so excited to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I might stutter or sound like a fool, but this will be fun.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. You can't do no worse than me, I promise. And I do a lot of weird things. So.
I'm sure I can.
Oh, gosh. So has it warmed up over there in Colorado?
It has. We're going to be in the 60s today. I've actually got my windows open right now. The kids and I, we went to the gym this morning and we came back and we got hit by a wave of heat in our place. It's like an oven in here.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's been that way here for me, too, in Illinois. We got, like, this massive break of, like, 50s and 60-degree weather. And I'm like, this is beautiful. Like, the sun is shining. And I'm like, it can stay like this now, please.
Definitely. I have to agree with that.
No more I'm ready like summer.
Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
There might be a pause or a... I don't even know what to say. There's like a pause in between our breaks.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know if it's like a lag in the system or what. But it's just
it's in the
We're
system.
We're going to have the awkward silences.
I think it's in the system because on our excerpt show, it was the same way. There was a slight lag.
Okay.
But when the show comes out, you don't have that slight lag. I think it's the radio program compensating, like if we all talk at the same time. So.
Ah, okay.
The fun of live radio.
Okay, so Michelle, are you ready for some questions?
I am. Bring them.
Yay.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start off. I've always been super comfortable when I write, or I have to be super comfortable when I write, like sweats, slippers, lots of cotton. Is there anything you always have to have before you get ready to write?
I usually love to have music or some sort of distraction. My husband makes fun of me because I turn on the TV when I pull up my laptop, and I turn it on any kind of television show. I don't even watch it, but I have to have some sound around. And as much as my kids drive me nuts, hearing them kind of helps me write, because I know that they're not getting into trouble and I don't have to stop every few seconds. But sound helps me write. Distractions.
I'm the same way. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say just comfortable clothes. I can wear jeans and a T-shirt to write in.
I'm the same way with noise. I have to have something going on, whether it be music and headphones or the TV on. I can't have the kids running around because they're a little too crazy to let me focus. But I'm the same way with noise. I can't have silence, otherwise I'll go crazy trying to write.
Yeah, the silence, I can't do. I can't sit in silence and think. I have to have something going on around me, whether it be music or TV or the kids. They don't have to run around, but as long as they're making noise where I can hear them, that they're not getting into trouble.
And you know, when they go quiet.
When they go quiet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, yep. Okay,
yeah,
are we ready for the next question?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, don't call me ma'am. Good God.
I'm just sorry. It's a bad habit.
I'm just messing with you. It's okay. Okay, so, Michelle, some may not know, but you have done both traditional publishing and self-publishing. Do you have a preference?
I enjoy self-publishing. I am what you consider a control freak. And the fact that I like to be able to know when it's going to be published, what's going on with the situation. If there's a delay, I can find out myself. I definitely would consider myself a control freak, and I need to know what's going on. So I do like the self-publishing aspect of being a writer. I like to also see sales and kind of where everybody is on the book. But, you know, traditional, I applaud everybody that can go with them. I like to be in control of the books.
Mod.
There you go.
Absolutely.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It's like with me, you know, it's a nice thought for the support and everything, but at the same time, I don't ever want to be censored. I don't want someone to tell me, well, you can't have that in your book or it needs to be this way. I would never be happy, you know. I couldn't do it.
Exactly. And I really thought that's what I wanted. And, you know, I appreciated the time that I was with them, but it was more my own defaults, or I guess, I don't even know what I would say. I wasn't in control of the situation, and even outside of writing, I like to be in control of the situation.
I'm the same way. I'm a control freak. I have to be at all times wanting to know everything about everything. And, yeah, so I get where you're coming from, and I can totally understand where you just, you know, you go one way because that's where you think you're wanting to go, but it just turns out it's not for you, and it's so wonderful that we have those options now.
Okay. It is.
You know?
Definitely.
So what inspired you to start writing?
Well, I have to give my husband the credit for this one. As much as I enjoyed writing reports for my school, I was doing school. I enjoy writing business reports, which is so weird to say. But I was reading books. My husband started getting me books for, like, gifts or just when we were out, we'd buy a new book and I'd start reading it and I'd go through it in a day. And then I started finding that the authors were like, the next book doesn't come out until, you know, next year. So I had to find things to fill my time. And my husband read an article about a woman that was writing erotica, but they were just short stories or novellas. And they were being sold on Google Play for only 99 cents. And he's like, why don't you try writing something? And so I sat down and I started writing, thinking I'm going to just write a short story. And it turned into 200 pages later. And then the words just kept flowing. And before I knew it, I was on my second and then my third book. And I have like a notebook full of ideas of just books that I want to write that I can't sit down long enough to actually write them.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Mine's not in a notebook. I have like probably about 40 documents that I've started. Some of them is just one or two pages. You know, others are about 10 pages or whatever. But these are all ideas that I will eventually get back to one day.
I have a notebook. I have a notebook full of just story ideas, and I have like a few documents of books. Like I had finished a book, and my editor and I started going through and started editing. And then I'm like, no, don't do that one. I want to write another story. Let's start this story. So she. She's like, are you sure you don't want to continue with the story? You have it finished. No, I don't want to finish this one. I'll wait for that one. I don't know if it's ready yet.
Oh, God. Yeah, we can all relate to that.
But that's a good problem to have, you know, to have so many stories done that
Oh, God.
Very cool.
Okay, let's see. Okay, which authors automatically come to mind when you think about who has inspired you?
Honestly, Maya Banks really, hang on just a second, I'm so sorry.
Hey, no.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't me.
Okay. Yeah, Maya Banks, don't. Maya Banks really started to... help me out. She was, I read Hunger Games, I'm sorry, the Hunger Games series, and then I started reading 50 Shades of Grey, but I really got into Maya Banks' Sweet Seduction series, and then the rest of her series really inspired me. My dear friend A.E. Neal, she and I would stay up late mostly drinking and blabbering on, but we would help bounce off ideas off of each other, and it was really helpful.
That's a good thing to have, though, you know, is somebody that you can bounce ideas off of like that.
Oh, definitely. I agree.
If I didn't, you know. I think, Elle, do you have another question?
Yeah, but I was just going to say, that's one of the best things to have is an author buddy or a writer buddy who kind of gets the process. So even
yes.
if they don't get your ideas, they get in a general direction where you're going. And that's one of the best things. Because you can, you know, talk to your friends or talk to your husband, and they're like, well, it's going to be great. You know, no matter what you do, it's going to be great. But they don't get the ins and the outs of, you know, writing a book. So it's wonderful to have author friends like that.
I agree. It's nice to actually have someone to talk to that you're like, I have this really crazy idea and I don't know where I want to go with it. So don't judge me, but how does this sound?
Oh, that sounds
I might be crazy on this one, but what do you think?
Yeah.
And you can use those ideas, you know, further in the story, but then it also helps when another creative mind steps in to say, before you do that, maybe you should kind of backstory it and work with it on that.
Agreed. Very much so. But I did have a question. Your book, Careful What You Wish For, is a modern-day spin on a fairy tale. Is there any specific fairy tale that's your favorite?
I love fairy tales. I think, honestly, I think they're so unrealistic that they're realistic. They make you just believe that, you know, there's always that one person out there for you. You enjoy reading the happily ever afters. I don't really have a specific one. I did kind of base Careful What You Wish For off of Cinderella, just because, you know, there's, you know, the fairy godmother. I love the fairy godmother stories. Honestly, I love Shrek. It's not really a fairy tale, but I love Shrek. I thought that was so cute that, you know, they always had their happily ever after, but they had that, you know, that conflict. And even in, like, the second one, there was the fairy godmother who just was off the wall, and it was good. There's my fairy tale. I love Shrek.
I think that Shrek was very good, you know, because it wasn't really a handsome prince, you know, it was the ogre, and I loved it.
Yes.
I thought that it was a different twist, and I think they're all very funny. I mean, Mike Myers, you can't go wrong.
Oh, no, you can't.
No, all, was there, there's like three of them, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. It
four.
Four. See, I'm one behind.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I need to watch that one then. My nephew used to be obsessed with Shrek. So I need to catch up.
Have a Shrek day.
My son was the same way. We put Shrek in, and it was like every day we have to watch Shrek. And I was like, okay, I'm down with that. I can roll with that one.
Oh,
gosh. But,
that's awesome.
T.E., you have another question?
I do. Michelle, I would like to know, are you a plotter or a pantser?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. Are you a plotter? Like, do you have to plot it out before you write it, or do you write by the seat of your pants?
I'm a little bit of both. Careful What You Wish For had a plot in mind. I had all the ideas kind of scene by scene, but the rest of my books are definitely seat of my pants. They were just kind of written out. I was writing chapter by chapter, and then I'd go back and make changes.
Well, yeah, and that's really the best thing. You know, if there's advice to give to writers, it's don't try to focus on fixing it as you go. Just write it out, and then you can go back and look over it.
Exactly. I agree with that. I don't want people to think that it's hard to write out a plot, but it's so much more fun to see where your mind takes you. you know, you don't want to sit there and stress about how this one scene isn't working, because, you know, you had another idea come up in the scene before it. So it's so much easier just to kind of write at the seat of your pants, personally.
Absolutely. And it takes a great deal of trust with the characters, because it's like, you know, they really do take on a mind of their own. And sometimes you never know where it's going to go. So it's always an adventure.
Yeah. And
that is
characters,
true.
I mean, as a writer, your characters, they talk to you. And, you know, you may sound crazy saying, my character is not talking to me today. Okay. Seeing as, you know, writers, you get that. Someone off the street may think that you're schizophrenic, but, you know, you let your... You let your characters talk to you, and they tell you where they want to go. They tell you where the story is going to happen. And if you stress about having a plot, you're really not going to have, I guess, fun with it, because you're not letting the story go its own direction.
Absolutely, those are wise words.
Yeah, you have to be very open to change, I think.
Oh, definitely.
When you're writing. And, you know, because how many times did I sprint with you girls? And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Because my characters decided to go way, like, craziness. And I was like, well, I guess I kind of have to make it work.
Yeah. Or you find yourself deleting a lot of words.
Oh,
yeah. That's painful.
But that's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it is.
Hitting the delete key for anything other than a misspelled word is like, oh, tears.
Deleting more than 100 words is heartbreaking. You're like, it took me an hour to get those 100 words.
Exactly. I've seen authors put up statuses, I had to delete 10,000 words, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, that would crush me. Like, I feel for you. I'm like, can I send you a cake just to make you feel better? Because I couldn't do it. Like, I think I would, no. That's one of those things. That many words, I would just be crushed. Because you stop and you think about how much time it took you to get that many words.
Especially 10,000 words. 10,000 words is probably 4 days of work. If it's a good week, it's close to 4 days of work. And, having those many words, you're like, I just spent 4 days doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it comes down to. You're like, I just wasted 4 days. You're like, okay. Time to move on.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got them playing Candyland, and they're arguing about how they're playing.
No, also, we play Candyland here, too. That's a fan favorite around here.
It definitely... Well, it was a fan favorite, and then it got moved up to a shelf and didn't see it. Now they found it, and now it's a big argument.
As it is with every game with children.
Yeah.
Oh,
true.
Gosh. Elle, do you, what's the next question you wanted to ask?
I do. So, coffee, tea, or soda?
All of the above. I am a caffeine-aholic. I usually, Dr. Pepper is my vice, and I can go through a 12-pack in a week, which is really bad, but then I wonder why I can't lose weight. Coffee in the morning, I usually have a cup or two. Tea is usually on a really cold day when I'm not feeling well, I'll make a cup of tea. But yeah, it's usually coffee, soda, or V8 energy drinks.
Are those good? I've seen them, and I've been wanting to try them, and I'm like, do you recommend the energy drinks?
There's only two that I like. I like the peach mango and the pineapple orange, but the blueberry pomegranate I'm not a fan of. But yeah, I like them. I do. They're nice. They're very refreshing. They're fruity and they don't taste vegetable-y.
Nice. Because I've been looking for something to kind of break up the soda and coffee, you know, with that still gives you that little boost of energy. So, and I'm not a fan of like the status quo energy drinks like Monster and Red Bull. And so I was looking at the V8 ones and I was like, oh, I was like, if I can get a recommendation from somebody, that'll be great.
I do like them. They are, they do give you that little caffeine kick and you don't taste the vegetables. So, and they're good for you. I do oftentimes mix them with alcoholic beverages, but that's just
nice.
That's something else.
But hey, if you can get your fruits and veggies with your alcohol drink, then that's a bonus.
Exactly.
That's a bonus in my book.
Absolutely. Hey, Michelle, we got a tweet just now from Ashley E. Neal. And she says, thanks for the shout-out.
Oh, you're welcome, Ashley.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you, Michelle. I was going to tell you that some of my earliest works that I ever wrote were fan fiction about Hanson and Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. And I was just curious, have you ever done anything like that?
I haven't. But my good friend Ashley that just tweeted in, she sent me something of fan fiction about Justin Timberlake. So I'm actually in the process of, I need to pull it up. She sent me it over last night. So I will be reading it this afternoon to see what it's like.
Bring in sexy back.
Yes, she is.
That was a good
one. If Justin is listening, she is his number one fan. And, he better lock his doors and just hide because she's going to come for him.
Oh, boy. I don't know, though. I think that fan fiction is fantastic because, you know, when you idolize a band or a celebrity that much and you can write a story and put yourself in that story with them, you know, that's pretty great on its own. And that's exactly what I did with Nick Carter, by the way, because I was going to marry that man. And yeah, I wish I could find that story. I lost it. It was in a notebook and it's just gone.
Who was it though? I mean, any teen girls in the 90s, it was either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
Or if you were a
I definitely
fan,
was an NSYNC girl.
Yeah, I did love them both, but Backstreet Boys was, you know, that was just, they were my number one.
See, I was a both girl. I was all over pop music, and anything new that came out, I was buying the CDs and watching every TV show that they were on, and I was just ridiculous teenager, obsessed with music.
Me too. My entire bedroom was covered in magazine articles from the Backstreet Boys. Like I would buy every magazine and cut out their pictures. It was bad.
Like Teen B and Teen Bop and all of those.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The posters.
And what was it? Tiger Beat or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a whole Hanson wall. I was a big Hanson fan, and I had a whole wall of Hanson posters. I was like, my sister despised them, and we shared a room. So she was "Are you for real?" And I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "You're gonna take those down." And I was like, "Maybe, you know, in 2 or 3 years." And she's like, "No, like tomorrow." And I'm like, "No." Like, I don't think so.
Oh, gosh.
That's awesome.
Okay. So, Michelle, if you were stranded on a beach with one book for the rest of your life, which book would you choose?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. I don't know. I can't just pick one book because then I'd get bored.
Okay. One type of book, like one genre of book.
I would have to go with, I definitely have to go with romance. I'm trying to write a thriller stalker story right now, and that would make me paranoid. If I was stranded on the island, I'd start to think that somebody was stranded with me. So I definitely would have to go with, like, the cheery romance where, you know, it is a happily ever after. I don't think I could handle the like, the Fault in the Stars. I haven't seen it or read it. Yes, don't hate me.
Oh, my God.
Something that,
I haven't either.
But something that would kill me, I couldn't be reading that over and over. I'd have to stick with the hot, erotica, happily ever after romance.
The Fault in Our... Oh, my gosh. You guys, I watched the movie, and I cried the entire thing. Just bawled, like not ugly cried through the whole movie. And I was just like... Because somebody recommended it, because I had to write, like, a really sad, hard scene. And they're like... Watch The Fault in Our Stars. They're like, it will get you in the right mood. And I was so wrecked. I couldn't even think about writing because I was just so distraught from doing it. So it's definitely one of those good, ugly cry kind of books and movies. But, yeah, no, I couldn't take that on a beach island either.
Yeah, I've been watching BuzzFeed videos lately, and just some of the videos that they have on there that people are still great out there. I'm bawling at this one where they taught people how to do sign language for this guy, and sitting there just tearing up and crying. So yep. Yeah, I don't think I could handle A Fault in Our Stars or If I Stay. Some of these stories, I'm like, I can't do it.
Those BuzzFeed videos will get you every time.
Absolutely.
Yep, BuzzFeed is my downfall. That's why I don't write some days, because I spend my afternoon on BuzzFeed.
Don't we all? I swear, it's either that or YouTube. And then it's like, well, I didn't get any writing done today. I wonder why. And it looks like Michelle lost signal, but hopefully she'll call us back in just a second. And while we're waiting for her to call back in, she is giving away an e-copy of Careful What You Wish For. And it's also on sale for 99 cents. So if you would like to try to get a free copy today, you can tweet to us using the hashtag MichelleTAW. And it looks like she's back now, so... Hello, Michelle.
I'm back. Hi. Sorry.
No. Oh, it's okay. All right, so we got you back. And I'm going to ask you, do you have any advice to new authors?
I do. Honestly, if you really have a story to put out there, don't let a lot of the Facebook statuses that you see that... You know, there's an overabundance of writers. It's just oversaturated. Just write. If writing makes you happy, please do it. You know, we've all got a story to tell. We've all got characters that want to talk to us. You know, just do it. I mean, honestly, get your story out there. It's hard work, and it takes a lot of time. You know, there's a lot of pressure out there, but really, if you want to write. And, you know, there are some mean people out there. There are. I've
mm-hmm.
talked to a few of them. There's some blogs that are just, you know, they, you know, have their picks and chooses of their authors that they want to help. But, you know, you find your group, you find the people to talk to, and, you know, there's always help out there.
Very true. That is very true.
So, you know, if you want to be an author, I say do it. And, you know, I'm on Facebook all the time. So I'm always willing to help if you have a few questions on, you know, how do I publish? If you need help, you know, finding blogs that will help you, I'm always there. So, and there's always thousands of other authors, indie or traditional, that are always willing to help. So, you know, don't feel like you're alone out there. You've got plenty of people rooting you on.
Absolutely.
And totally get a hold of Michelle, because she sprints with me and Tanya. So she's always willing to hang out and give information and feedback, and it's good for us to have right there.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, I miss those sprints, you guys. We're going to have to do them again.
I know.
Yes.
I need to get on it. So, Michelle, you were talking about the thriller you're writing right now, and it's kind of like a stalker story, right?
Yes, yes. It's kind of creepy, and I've changed the story up a little bit just because it was actually starting to scare myself. I had him looking in through her window, and from the building across. Well, I live in a condo, and there's a building across from me, and so I actually had to shut my blinds because I started to scare myself. But it's not romance at all. It's a thriller. It's kind of scary, and it's going to be different. And, you know, I don't want to lose any of my readers because of, you know, Careful What You Wish For was a romantic comedy. But this is completely off the wall, and it's different to write, and it's going to be definitely different to read.
Well, there's a whole. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. It's fine.
There's a whole audience for dark reads, so you will find a ton of new readers. So, and even, you know, I've been seeing the teasers for it on your author page, and I'm really kind of intrigued because I've never really, I mean, I've seen sort of thing like it, but never like straight up stalker thing like that. Like
stalker,
and,
yeah.
Like I don't want to use it in a bad light because from what I've seen from the teasers, it's like an obsession kind of thing for your male lead, and I'm really intrigued by it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be more of an obsession, and he's not really stalking. I mean, I guess he's stalking, but it is more of an obsession that he has fallen in love with her, and he feels that they should be together. And I've never written in a male point of view. I've always written in the female, so I'm having a little trouble trying to make him not sound like a woman, but rather an obsessed man. And it's definitely different, and it's harder.
Right. And you know, Michelle, because I was on G's page earlier, George Malone, and he was talking about writing in a woman's point of view for the first time. And when I first started writing from a guy's point of view, because it's like, I love to do it. It's so fun to try to imagine what it's like as a man. And that might be something that helps you is if when you're sitting down to write and you think, well, if I was a guy, how would I react to this? If I were a man, what would I say in this instance? And that might help you.
Yeah. My problem is when I write in a guy's point of view, I write what I would want him to say to me, and sometimes it sounds a little too feminine.
Well, not as assertive.
Well, I mean, yeah, have you considered asking your husband, you know, like, well, if this was you in this situation, what would you say? You know, that might help a little.
You know, I have, and it's kind of hard to tell him about the situation because I've told him that it's a stalker story, and he's like, what are you writing? Well, if you were stalking a woman, what would you say, you know? And so that's the hard part. So so I have to kind of play it off of, you know, just what I would think an obsessed man would say. This one is definitely hard. From other stories, I've, you know, asked him, hey, if we were doing this, or if you were to do this, what would happen next? Or if you would say something, you know, what would you say? But it's hard. And right now I've kind of just taken lines, but I've watched kind of darker shows, like with American Horror Story. I'm kind of using Dandy from this last season. His kind of demeanor and the way he says things as kind of a muse for me. I've also, Adam Levine, when he's in his Animals music video. How he kind of follows her. I've kind of used that as another muse. So it's kind of a Dandy meets Adam Levine character.
That is going to be one twisted dude.
Yes. So you can imagine when I ask my husband, hey, so if you were obsessed with someone, what would you say? And you can imagine right there his reaction.
Yeah, well, writers say the darndest thing, so.
Right, exactly.
Your husband's like, who are you writing? What are you doing?
If I were to die, and you know how writers say, please erase my history on my laptop?
Yeah.
I would definitely want mine erased right away. I've got borderline personality disorders, sedatives, drugs for, you know, schizophrenia and manic depression. Yeah, he's going to think that I'm slowly losing my mind, and it's not going to be pretty for our marriage.
Oh my gosh. Lord. All right. So we have had you in our hot seat for like the last 45 minutes. And I checked the Twitter again, and there wasn't anything new, which makes me so sad. But, you know, people haven't really – they haven't heard of us yet. But when they do, things will be rolling a lot more smoother. But let me see here. Okay, so we still have about 15 minutes left, and we were going to try to take a few phone calls if you wanted to try that.
Sure.
Okay, so Michelle's fans, if you're listening and you would like to call in to ask her something or just to say hi, our number is 1-323-870-4614, and I'm going to up the ante. The first person that calls in, I will gift you a copy of Careful What You Wish For, but you've got to call to get it. So, so hopefully we'll have some calls. I swear, if it was me, I love calling and harassing people on radio shows, and I would just call every time. I don't know. I guess people are just shy, but hopefully they'll call anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So,
yay!
But I did have one other question, because you're not only writing the thriller, right? You're also writing a follow-up to Careful What You Wish For? Is that still
I am. Right now it is with my editor, and she is, we're slowly working on it. She's pointed out a few things that maybe we could add to it. So it's slowly coming along. It's further down the road, and I've tried to write it from when Harley was pregnant, and that brought back painful memories of being pregnant. And then I tried to make it as a toddler story, but it was starting to sound like my daughter, and I think people would actually hate me because my daughter has tendencies of being a really big brat, and I don't think people would want to deal with reading that. So I actually made the story with Harley has a daughter, and it's, you know, 20 years down the road. So it's farther out, but it kind of gives the same feel as Wish. But it's, I don't want to give too much away, but it'll be funny, and it'll bring back a lot of the older characters.
Be a nice little check-in with everybody.
It will. It will. Ethan will be coming back, and Donna will be coming back, and definitely, you know, Matt and Harley will be there. But it'll bring some new characters, and it'll kind of twist everything together.
Oh, good.
That will be awesome. And I can't wait to read it. I'm very excited.
Yay!
So we're still waiting on some callers, and I wanted to go ahead
fine.
And get our promos out of the way, if that's okay with you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right, so we'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. That way, if anybody calls in, they'll have the lawn. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and toss out Jules Dixon's book, Rest My Love. That's book 2 in the Triple R series, and here's what we can tell you about it. Sage and Raw have plenty of chemistry, but do they have the ability to be what the other needs outside of the bedroom, too? Will they save each other and create something unexpected? Rest My Love can be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple, Scribd, Page Foundry, and Flino. Jules has been such a huge supporter of the show, and we just want to thank her again so much for believing in us here at the Author Wave, and we want you to know, Jules, that we love you.
And we'd also like to mention, I know it was, I checked last night, and it was still, Jules' book, Run to Love, was on sale for 99 cents, so be sure to check that out. Also be sure to look on our Facebook page later this evening, as we'll feature the details on our SMAT sponsors, promotions, and for any other information about Michelle and her books, it will all be up on her Facebook page tonight.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in becoming a SMAT, please be sure to look for the Google form we've shared on our Facebook page.
And you can find anything and everything you need to know about contact, schedule an interview, or being promoted by visiting us at www.facebook.com/theauthorwave. You can also find us at Twitter at theauthorwave, and that's where you can submit responses to our questions and also submit questions for your favorite authors when their scheduled interview is coming up.
Absolutely. And right now we have the lovely Michelle Escamilla. And
hello.
I wish somebody would call in, even if it's just to ask you something totally bogus. I mean, that I love being caught off guard. So
come on, Ashley,
yeah, people,
call in.
If you want to call, again, the number is 1-323-870-4614. But if you don't want to call, you're too shy, or somebody just cut off your tongue and you can't do it at all, you can tweet to us. You can either do it at the Author Wave, or you can use the hashtag MichelleTAW. And we still have 10 minutes, so we'll be happy to read your questions off and let Michelle answer that for you. So.
I really don't know where that tone cut off thing came from. It just popped into my head and I said it. So.
I've got Ashley talking to me on Facebook, and I've got her saying that we'll have a tweet here in just a minute.
Oh, yay. Nice. Well, I can't wait. Oh, man. I think here pretty soon we're going to do our hashtag of why I threw my Kindle. And I really hope that a lot of people get involved with it because I think their answers are going to be hilarious. And, hey-o, we got a phone call. Hold on just a second.
Yay.
Hello, you're on Author Wave.
Hi, this is Allison Raines calling to say hi to Michelle Escamilla.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
I pulled up Tristan this morning.
You pulled up Tristan this morning?
I did. Tristan is her book that she just released, and it's quite hot.
Oh, okay. So is this somebody else that we can we con you to coming on to our show sometime then, if that's the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yay.
That'd be great.
Woohoo.
So I have a question for Michelle, though. Have a question.
Okay.
Are you going to write a sequel to Careful What You Wish For?
I am. We were just talking about it. I am writing, it's going to be called Wishful Thinking, and it'll be about Harley's daughter just down the road.
Awesome.
It'll be 20 years down the road, but it'll still have the characters there. And it'll be kind of a nice little twist off the first one.
Cool. Very cool.
Yay.
Yay. So for anybody who hasn't read it, it's a really great, it's such a fun story to read. It's so cute. I mean, I really loved it. And the fairy godmother is insane. And, yeah, just everything that happens is kind of crazy. So I did. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the book. And I left
Thank
the review.
You.
And yay. So, yeah. So I just wanted to call in and say hi. And
Hi.
I'm sorry I didn't call in sooner. I've been messing around with Photoshop, so I'm like. Oh. So. Anyway.
Well, I tell you what, you were the first caller, and I promised to give away a copy of Careful What You Wish For. But since you've already got it, I will offer you another book at the value of 99 cents.
Awesome. Well, that would be great. That would be
Yay.
Wonderful.
So,
thank you.
You're very welcome. If you want to, you can message our page over on Facebook, The Author Wave, or you can just have Michelle pass your information on to us, and I'll get something out to you.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm going to have to go search. Book I want now. That's awesome.
Yay. Congratulations, Allison.
You almost spilled the beans, Michelle.
I know. I quickly corrected myself.
I didn't hear anything, so.
No, it's fine. All right. Well, you ladies have a nice day, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right.
Thank
we'll see
you.
Bye, Allison.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, man, that was so cool. I love it when people
Yay!
Call in.
I do, too.
Yeah, that's great. And see, that's what I wanted with this show was, you know, for readers to call in and talk to authors. I think that, you know, if I could ever have the opportunity to call in and talk to Stephen King, you know, I would totally take that. I probably wouldn't get through, but I
would
definitely try to.
That would be
yeah,
awesome. I think he'd scare me too much, though.
Maybe not.
No, I think he'd be so awesome to talk to, kind of get inside his head, like, where do you get these ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, most of them came from his dreams, you know, and it's got to make you wonder,
yeah,
what on earth does he eat, you know, or
eat before bed,
or what does he watch on TV that inspires these, you know, these stories? Because some of them are pretty far out there, and it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, because I wake up crying.
Yeah, I had a creepy dream not too long ago, and it stuck with me for a week. And I don't think that I could, I mean, I guess I could write a book on it, but to have those kind of dreams, some of his movies, they creeped me out. So to have those kind of dreams all the time, yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, like, I think the worst one for me was Cujo. Like, that movie to this day still freaks me out so bad, because it is the most realistic situation that could happen. And my sister-in-law makes fun of me because I won't watch the Saw series, and I hated The Wrong Turn because those are things that could actually happen. And
yeah,
everybody makes fun of me for it. It's just, it's a real situation that could happen, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. So,
yeah. Yeah. Was it this It with the clown? No.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Can't do it.
It is my favorite. I love It. My dad's cousin, Don, he gave me the book. He loaned it to me for like 6 months. And then he loaned me the VHS tape, and I almost broke that thing watching it so many times. So.
I don't do clowns. Nope. Won't do
them. My dad was a big Stephen King reader, so I picked up a lot of his books and read them because my dad had them. And it's an amazing thing to kind of, because a book is very personal, so you're getting in the author's head when you read it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very neat to get inside, you know, an author's head like that. So
absolutely.
I agree with, there's something I read that women are more, they're not visual, because men are more visual, but we like to read things rather than watch things. And I think books definitely get into our heads more than movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, because it's your interpretation. There's no other
mm-hmm.
way to interpret a movie, because it's how the actors act. That's how they interpreted it. But when you read
mm-hmm.
it, if you ask, you know, a poll of like 50 women who read 50 Shades of Grey, who their Christian Grey was and who they saw them, and then you actually sat down with the book with the description of Christian Grey, it varies.
Mm-hmm.
So much. So I think
right.
books offer a chance to have a wider imagination.
Absolutely. And I really hate to interrupt you, but we're down to our last minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, no. Okay.
But
we did.
Michelle, it has been a pleasure. I mean, I was so excited to talk to you, and I'm so grateful that you wanted to come on with us. And
I'm so excited that you guys had me.
Yeah,
thank
definitely.
You very much.
All right, well,
we'll definitely
to
have
online.
To chat more.
Definitely.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So, thanks
okay.
for listening in today, and thank you so much to Michelle Escamilla for joining us. We hope to have another show before then, but remember that Sunday the 15th, our guest will be Katie Kennehurst. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I said it right. Okay. At 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we hope you can join us. Until next time.
See you later.
Bye.
About authors, their books, and their readers. This is The Author Wave, signing off.